This is Chris Whalen, CPA, and welcome to a very special edition of the Street Level Business Podcast. First, if you already have a question for me, please pause the podcast and call me on 732-673-0510. My CPA firm specializes in business and income tax matters for businesses and families and offers the full array of services you would expect from a full-service CPA firm. As the name implies, this podcast offers advice for those of us working and living at the street level. If you look at your screen, you will see my website and phone number, both great ways to reach me. Today's topic is the student loan crisis, analysis, perspective, recommendations, and the hidden 1%. This podcast will be slightly longer than usual, and I beg your patience as I have tried to incorporate many ideas and recommendations within it. In my CPA practice, I have dealt with every facet of the student loan system for decades. This has given me a rare perspective and understanding, which has led me to create this podcast. I want to premise this podcast with the following thought. Of course, you and your child are responsible for their performance in college, but, and that but is in large capital letters, universities and colleges have no accountability or responsibility other than providing desks and classes for which you have paid tuition. They have zero risk of loss. Universities and colleges are one of the best examples of what I call the hidden 1%. I will explain that more in detail a bit later. If you have ever had a student loan or co-signed for one, I don't have to tell you what a nightmare this can be. Many of us have accumulated enormous student loan debt for a so-called education, an education that has not lived up to its promises in many instances. I believe that we need a mentality change about college. Often we have desperation, fear, and social pressure guiding decision-making about college. Although this is one of our most expensive purchases we will ever make and one of the longest time commitments, honest research and analysis is rarely done to see if it is all worth it. Many of us research buying a refrigerator with more scrutiny. Attending college is a many-year and a tens of thousands of dollars endeavor, so logically it should take years of planning and intense research before making such a decision. I also believe that educational institutions must be forced to meet minimum standards before they are eligible to receive money from students, whether paid with student loans or with cash on hand. If I were to ask you, what percentage of incoming freshmen graduate college in 4 years, what would you say? I'll give you a moment to formulate your most educated guess. Well, here are the sobering facts. The national average 4-year graduation rates for public colleges and universities is 40%. Nonprofit private colleges and universities are 53%. Either of these is appalling. Were you aware of this? I urge everyone to visit the College Board website, which has these statistics by state and by institution. It's eye-opening, to say the least. What are the 4-year graduation rates for incoming freshmen at the schools you or your children are considering? Are they this dismal? If so, I would strongly reconsider steering your child there. Have you taken the time to review all prospective colleges' performance? Another important piece of data to request is, what is the ratio of administrative payroll versus the payroll of actual professors and educators? If you find that administrative payroll is higher than that of the actual people who teach, that is a bloated bureaucracy to be avoided. One more note about graduation rates. Many schools openly post 6-year graduation rates from their 4-year schools. Even then, the 6-year graduation rate average is only 59%. This would be a total system failure requiring a major overhaul for any company or institution. The fix is in to get more than 4 years of tuition from us 60% of the time. So were you aware that the 4-year enormous college tuition budget you had in mind was only 67% of the 6 years of college tuition you most likely will pay? To me, 4-year schools are engaging in false advertising. I don't believe there are any 4-year schools left in America. Almost no colleges or universities graduate enough of their incoming freshmen in 4 years to claim they are a 4-year school. We all have been complicit in this, and I believe our eyes need to be opened and that a major overhaul of the entire post-secondary education industrial complex needs to be demanded by us. We are the consumers, and so we should demand minimum standards and performance just as we do for any other business we buy from. Right now, the schools are dictating all the rules, with no way to hold them accountable for anything. They are very good at taking our money and leaving all the responsibility and accountability on our children and often parents and grandparents who are co-signers of student loans. Here are my recommendations, or as I call them, the Triple 90 Plan. These are my criteria for the minimum performance we should demand going forward. If the schools don't meet this criteria for all major courses of study, then they have failed and should not get a penny from our families any longer. I call this the Triple 90 Plan. The first 90 is this: 90% of incoming freshmen must graduate in 4 years. The second and third 90 are 90% of those graduating must have jobs in their major within 90 days of graduation at salary levels expected. This is simple, and this is real accountability, and we should not deviate from this. Doesn't a 90% graduation rate seem more reasonable than 40%? My plan gives a 10% cushion for unforeseen circumstances. Of course, not all students can graduate in 4 years, but 60% are not graduating on time? Any system with a 60% failure rate is broken beyond repair. If you failed at your job 60% of the time, you wouldn't have that job very long. Any educational institution that does not meet this Triple 90 criteria is a bad investment for your family. Moving on, this is additional advice for parents. Be honest about your child's aptitude and work ethic. Are you sure your child should go to college right after high school? You need to be honest with yourself about your child's abilities and maturity. Are they ready to go to college at all, even a community college? If your child does not have the desire to attend even a community college, I would not force them. Those years can be spent learning a trade or working in an industry where they have interest or develop one. And if no college attendance, then I would force them to work at least 40 hours per week and immediately charge them rent and have them pay part of the utilities. They need to be an adult whether they attend college or not. Adults not enrolled full-time in college should be paying rent somewhere. But think of the benefits of that. No student loans and full-time employment and salary. Those 4 years are then spent building a resume, gaining confidence and learning on the street level what life is about and what they want to pursue as a career. If they develop a career goal that one day requires a college degree, then that is the time to revisit having them attend college. I would rather see a high school graduate go to work right after high school, and then, if a focused passion develops for a career that requires college, have them attend college. If a child goes to college without the criteria I have described here, then freshman year is only the 13th grade, as it is so often called. College is far too expensive to attend casually and emotionally adrift. In my practice, I have seen more and more major corporations not requiring a college degree, but are focused on real skills. This is true especially in tech jobs. Does your child have an aptitude for a very specific trade, especially in tech? Maybe focusing on gaining those skills will catapult them in employability and much sooner than 4 years. But let's say that you do believe your child is ready to attend college. If considering sending them to live on campus, are they ready to be away from home without your supervision? Have they ever spent time away from home before? Having put 3 children through college, I have the following advice for parents. This is probably the most important advice you will hear in this podcast. 1. Do not allow your child to go to a 4-year school unless they have a life-supporting major in mind. Let me say that again and slowly. A life-supporting major. What is my definition of a life-supporting major? They will graduate in 4 years unless the major requires more time, such as accounting and teaching. Also, they will be fully financially independent immediately upon graduation. What does that mean? Well, fully financially independent means leaving their parents' home and being able to support themselves, including the payment of any student loans. If they do not have a life-supporting major in mind, I have 2 suggestions. Have them go to a community college for the first 2 years so they can hopefully find their calling. Going to a 4-year school without the proper focus and a specific life-supporting major is a financial disaster waiting to happen, and one they may never recover from. Use community college as some practice college time, which costs a fraction of a 4-year school. Or have them go to work, as I mentioned already. Attending a 4-year school should never be used to test the waters of higher education. Again, it is much too expensive a proposition to attend with that small level of passion, focus, and direction. If the major they are interested in does not have stellar placement rates, which means 90% of graduates finding jobs in that major within 90 days after graduation, and that major does not provide a salary that will let them move out after graduation, and pay their student loans do not allow them to pursue that major course of study. Any major course of study that does not meet my triple 90 criteria is just a hobby and not worth paying college tuition for. This seems like common sense, but millions of children are getting degrees that will never allow them to gain full independence. They could become just another parent's basement dweller. This is a shame, and it is completely avoidable. If this happens to them, the parents bear the greatest blame, in my opinion. This is where many parents fail, and long before high school is ending. These types of discussions with your children and the related expectations they will internalize must start very early in life. Self-sufficiency and personal responsibility must be taught from birth. Moving on again. The title of this section is Monitoring of Academics Must Continue in College as It Was in High School. Attending college can bring on life-altering disasters, both financial and emotional, but most of these can be avoided with some good planning. Let's talk for a moment about tracking your child's academic progress while in college. During high school, many of us could see our child's academic progress on online systems. You should maintain this daily oversight when they are in college. You should communicate with their professors and be sure to demand that you are alerted if your child falls behind. Again, parents need to enforce accountability and transparency on these schools and educators. Are they assigned a student advisor whose job it is to monitor their progress? Get to know this person very well and make sure that they know they need to answer to you. Most schools will tell you that you no longer have any right to see your child's records as they are adults now. Do not fall for this or bow to this pressure. This is ridiculous and offensive. Make sure your children give you power of attorney or whatever signed documents are required so the school administration as well as professors need to answer to you on behalf of your child. Your child entering college is one of the most important times where you should be involved on a daily basis and in every aspect of their lives. This mysterious and distant attitude from the schools and professors propagates all of the problems I am detailing in this memo. They don't want any oversight or scrutiny brought to bear on their practices, so they will try to make you feel like you are a helicopter parent who is a control freak. Be sure to quickly shut up anyone who starts to speak this way towards you. Be sure to meet all of your child's professors and let them know that you expect to be told immediately when your child seems to be falling behind. To your child, you need to enforce detailed expectations of their academic performance. You should not be paying for C's and D's. My grade criteria was all A's and one B was acceptable per semester. Why the one B? Because there may be a difficult teacher that refuses to give anyone an A. Just as you did in high school, their accumulated grades in each class and grade point average should be reviewed by you, their parents, weekly. To think an 18-year-old, just out of high school, should have no parental oversight is alarming, especially in the past few decades where teenage development and maturity has been so stunted. In my 30-year career, I have observed an almost 4-year loss of maturity, toughness, and worldliness in high school graduates. And current college graduates are much more sensitive, less confident, and incapable of taking criticism than those from the past. This means that a 22-year-old today has the maturity of an 18-year-old 20 years ago. There are many reasons for this, but I am not licensed to discuss them professionally, nor do I have the space and time here. It is just a fact that I have observed. I want to mention automation in the workplace. Automation will be impacting almost every job sector, especially low-skilled service workers are the most vulnerable. Please keep this important fact about the future in the front of your mind as you guide and advise your child about their college major and career choices. The next topic is that the political culture of the university that your child attends will impact their future employability. Researching a university or college's political climate and social justice-related leanings is just as important as researching their academic offerings. Why do I say this? In my CPA practice, I am involved in both sides of my clients' hiring practices. I offer advice and assist clients in their hiring practices, and the children of my client base look to me to recommend them to that client base. This would seem like it is a fantastic situation, and for a long time it was, as I have a foot and influence in both worlds. But more and more of my clients who are hiring are not only researching a potential employee's transcripts and online postings, but now they are grading employment candidates on the potential political leanings of the university or college they attended. Employers want to know what kind of biases, if any, pervade the cultures where the job candidates spent the last 4 to 6 years? Could they have been indoctrinated in ways that don't fit into a free market and capitalism-driven business? More and more, I am seeing employers dismiss resumes containing attendance at certain schools without learning anything about the candidates. This is even for straight A and 4.0 GPA students. Those candidates are getting fewer interviews and therefore fewer jobs. Parents, I urge you to do your own similar research well before your child begins the process of researching and visiting schools. Look up news articles. Does the school vehemently support free speech at all costs? Is there a balance of student groups across every political ideology? Does the administration seem to have a political or social bias they openly espouse? Or do they remain neutral and realize their job is to educate students and not sway their political beliefs? Are the most powerful people running that school tolerant of all ideologies equally? Have violent student protests been ignored by school administrators and campus police? Right or wrong, employers believe that left-leaning people are not a good fit for a for-profit company. The next topic is the hidden 1%, debt slavery, and maybe a revolution. The past few years, we have heard so much in the news about the 1%. The 1% have been painted as evil, selfish creatures who steal from the poor, that they are above the law, that they get preferences from the government, especially with tax breaks, that they are protected from litigation against valid consumer complaints, and that they seem to make money for doing nothing. But if you take the definition of the 1% I just enumerated, you'll see that educational institutions are a perfect example of what we have deemed to be the 1%. Well, how could that be? Let's take a closer look. Colleges and universities have almost no responsibility or accountability for the exorbitant amounts of money that they are paid. Tuition can be $50,000 per semester. And once the add drop period passes, if your child does not attend classes, that money is lost forever. The schools have no responsibility beyond providing a desk and classrooms. Our debts to them are not dischargeable in bankruptcy. There is no other elite class that is given this kind of treatment. This is called debt slavery, especially as it regards student loans. And some of these student loan debts are guaranteed by the government. Not only are our children debt slaves for decades, but taxpayers could be on the line for these debts as well. So this version of the 1% has no way that they can lose. There is no risk of loss for them. That sounds pretty much like what I consider the 1%. This is completely unacceptable, and it leads to moral hazards, graft, overcharging, and corruption. Again, there is no greater example of the 1% than colleges, universities, and trade schools. I have a question for you. Have you or your child graduated college with a 4-year degree and still cannot support yourself financially and live on your own? I believe you are a victim of the education industrial complex, and something needs to be done to compensate you and the millions like you who have invested more than a life savings and were giving nothing of value for it. At a minimum, a 4-year degree should set you up for financial independence upon graduation, or that course of study should only be an elective and never a major. For decades, we have been deluged with several marketing messages pertaining to colleges, many of them parroted by well-meaning guidance counselors and all meant to keep us desperate and afraid to get our children into college blindly at all cost. Here is a short list. They'll tell us that college is necessary at all costs. It is a status symbol. It is something to be proud of. It is required to have a career. It is more important than starting a family. This has created a blind anxiety to the entire process, and most importantly, a lack of sober and measured evaluation of college. Taking all of the emotion out of it and ignoring the 5 messages I detailed above, shouldn't we evaluate such a large expense based on the merits and value provided? Much more time needs to be spent by parents researching the majors their children will eventually select. Let's say your child is looking at an annual tuition of $40,000, $30,000 of which will be funded by student loans. What is the average salary for that major upon graduation? Is it $30,000? If your child is getting out of college with $120,000 in student loan debt, there is no way that is justified by that $30,000 salary. This is the trap that so many millennials are in. Their salary is not high enough to pay their student loan and move out and become independent. This is a travesty, but one we can avoid with the proper planning and if we eliminate desperation from our college-related decision-making. Currently, there is a seller's market for post-secondary education, and this is based on desperation and fear, all happily propagated and supported by the education industrial complex. We must remove desperation from our actions, and this will allow us to regain control and turn the education market into a buyer's market for the first time. Again, we are the consumers paying huge amounts to these businesses, and we should demand performance and accountability as we should have been doing for the past 100 years. The education industrial complex advertises that getting accepted into a university or college is an achievement worth striving for. Many times it is not. So, I have covered an awful lot of information in this podcast. I'm looking forward to your thoughts, so please take a moment to write to me at chriswhalencpa@gmail.com. As always, I hope you found this podcast informative and worthwhile. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great day.